Welcome to the December issue of the AES Journal podcast. I'm Kyle P. Snyder. Spatial audio features strongly in this month's lineup of research papers, including studies on panning laws, binaural synthesis, and vertical localization in WFS. But first, we present an important summary of the new ISO MPEG standard for unified speech and audio coding. Max Nundorf, together with numerous co-researchers from across the world, described the MPEG-D standard that was finalized in early 2012, intended to offer consistently high quality for all content types and bit rates. This is achieved by integrating elements from audio and speech coding into one system, and it results in a codec that can be used in devices that handle multiple functionalities. The three spatial audio papers in the December issue begin with one by Hyung-Kuk Lee and Francis Rumsey on panning laws for musical sources. Using a variety of real musical sources, the authors find that level panning can perform robustly regardless of the spectral and temporal characteristics when it comes to listener location of phantom images. Time panning, however, is not suitable for continuous sources with a high fundamental frequency. A panning law is presented that is expected to be more accurate than either sine or tangent laws in terms of matching between predicted and perceived image positions. A paper by Kaushik Sundar and his colleagues looks into the individualization of binaural synthesis using frontal projection headphones. Instead of using conventional headphones that introduce sound into the ear from the sides, frontal projection headphones introduce sound from transducers located a small distance from the front of the pinna, to some extent mimicking the sound coming from loudspeakers in front of the listener. It's found that because the headphone location naturally introduces idiosyncratic pinna cues, the front-back confusion is reduced. The authors also suggest a robust equalization technique for frontal projection that preserves embedded personal pinna cues. Turning from headphones to loudspeaker reproduction, we then hear from Lucas Rohr and his co-workers from EPFL about a study that attempted to evaluate the vertical localization performance of an innovative wave field synthesis system. They implemented a 24 loudspeaker setup in the frontal quarter of the upper half sphere of the listening space and found that localization performance was good in comparison to other studies having denser loudspeaker arrays or using other techniques. Concluding this month's research papers, we hear from Alexis Favreau and Christoph Faller about an adaptive equalizer for acoustic feedback control. The aim was to reduce the possibility of acoustic feedback in PA systems by decreasing the gain at frequencies where feedback is likely to occur. A speedy and efficient algorithm based on the short-term Fourier transform was developed that enabled the gain to be reduced before howl-round became noticeable. There's also one engineering report in the December issue, written by Klaus Huber, on the design of all-pole filters that are perfectly matched to specifications. The idea is to use a general class of polynomial all-pole low-pass filter that can be designed to match the frequency domain specification with a continuous range of selectivity and passband ripple. Standard fourth-order Butterworth filters in loudspeaker crossover circuits can then be replaced by third-order filters, says Huber. This month's standards news deals with developments in loudspeaker modeling and measurement, along with microphone measurement and characterization. For example, you can find out how the Microphone Measurement Working Group has been working on the improvement of professional microphone specifications. There are also various calls for nominations in this issue, one for awards and one for members of the Board of Governors. If you know of anyone that should be recognized for their achievements in audio engineering, or who has demonstrated outstanding service to the Society, now is the time to get your proposals in to the Awards Committee. The committee is keen to hear about individuals that may not have come to their attention thus far. Similarly, if you are an AES full member in good standing and feel that you could contribute your talents on the Board of Governors, perhaps you should consider standing for election in this coming summer. Our feature article this month goes into greater depth on the topic of sound field control, based on papers presented at the recent conference held in the UK. We discover how sound zones can be created within a space and learn about the various different algorithms that can be used to drive arrays of loudspeakers. Francis Rumsey also reveals Anthony Tucker's dirty little secret about the perception of reconstructed sound fields. Dig into the December issue to discover what it is. Over 18,000 of your colleagues from the world of audio engineering gathered in New York in October to attend the 135th convention at the Javits Center. If you didn't make it, you can read all about it in an extensive report on the proceedings, together with a list of papers and exhibitors. Find out all about what you missed and consider joining us in either Berlin next April or in Los Angeles next October for the next main event. Finally, we publish a preliminary program for the upcoming 53rd conference, which takes place in London very soon, on the topic of semantic audio. Chaired by Karl-Heinz Brandenburg and Mark Sandler, this promises to be the highlight of the year for all those working in this important field. There's a valuable tutorial program on the day before the conference starts, and sponsors include Native Instruments, Isotope, Adobe, and CoSound. All this, and much more, is packed into the December issue of the AES Journal, available now on the AES website at www.aes.org. For the Audio Engineering Society, I'm Kyle P. Snyder. Thanks for listening.